Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. Welcome to Diving Into Writing, episode 35.
Hello.
We're doing well, aren't we, Anna?
Yeah, we are. And you were going to start by saying how well we were doing and that more people would be listening.
Yeah, and say thank you to everyone that is listening because the podcast is growing.
That's good news.
We've been doing it for over a year now. We started in January or December 2018. Yeah, so at some point it had to either grow or die.
Yeah.
And we're growing, so we can continue, which is great.
So today we're going to talk about conflict, aren't we?
Yes.
And you suggested this title, so why was it in your mind?
I really did not see you asking me that question. And now you're making me think back to last week when I suggested it. I think it was because of something I read about the importance of conflict and how it uncovers who a character is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why. Although I can't remember who wrote that article. Or what
well,
I read it in.
It must have been something very wise that we said. And well, I did start thinking about it.
Ah.
And I can start to tell you what I was thinking about, and maybe it might you have an idea as well, and that's how we'll go forward with this. Because it's a big area, of course.
Mm. Really important.
Yeah. But I don't know if we probably mean the same thing about conflict.
Oh, we usually don't.
No, we don't. Because, to me, there's different in a story. There could be external conflict and there could be internal conflict.
Yeah. I was actually thinking there are very few stories that don't have internal conflict in it.
Mm.
I think maybe, no, even in Die Hard, because that's a real action film, isn't it? But I think there was some internal conflict about to do with his ex-wife and his child, wasn't there?
I don't know. I can't remember if I've even seen it. But anyway, go on.
How can you not have seen Die Hard?
There are lots of things I haven't seen.
More things I haven't seen. But yeah, Bruce Willis, you know?
Yeah, I know Bruce Willis.
Doing the actions on a podcast doesn't really work.
Well, I'm going to start anyway thinking about external.
Okay.
I might find I'm drifting because it's easy to drift.
Okay.
But I was thinking, what kind of conflicts are there? Well, there's obviously war, that's a conflict.
Hmm.
But then why are there? And it's usually something to do with religion or beliefs or identity. Race and things like that, inequality.
You know, when you talk about anything like this, I immediately want to take it back to Story Grid.
Yeah, so go on.
And the type of conflict might determine what genre you're writing in. So I was trying to describe my novel to someone today, someone who doesn't read space opera. Mm. So there's always the Star Wars. But then she still looked at me blankly. And I was like, it's probably nearest to a thriller, even though it's in space.
Yes.
And it's the type of conflict, the life and death that's in there, which... Not all conflict has to be about life and death, does it? Mm-hmm. Or even fighting. It can be about, I don't know, man or woman versus nature.
Mm.
Or, you know, can they survive?
Yeah, I was thinking survival. But there are different types of survival even, so you can get into all sorts of things. Like, there could be, there has been recently, for instance, a charity walk where some of the celebrities who went on it trained up to go to Mongolia, and then because of the virus, coronavirus, everyone, they had to change it to Namibia. So all these people who trained to be in sub-zero temperatures on ice lakes and flat scenery ended up climbing up sand dunes in 45 degrees heat.
Couldn't they get somewhere a little bit similar?
I don't know why they did, but that's what they did. And of course, some people got heat problems and things like that, but it's sometimes survival in that sense.
Yeah.
And it also can be your mental survival.
And you see, thinking back to StoryGrid, they so internal conflict. Are we still talking external? Well, can I take us into internal?
We can, because we can bounce back and forth as long as we know what we're doing.
Okay. So the internal conflict can be status. Mm. So if you think of Jane Austen and those sort of Dickens era, where status did equate survival, particularly for women.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before, haven't we? But that can be the main theme of a novel, which isn't life or death, clearly.
Yeah.
But it is still important. And we can all relate to it as well, can't we? When we're not necessarily marrying for status, but we can all relate to those times when we've felt small or wanted revenge because we've been made to feel small.
But then I think the internal kind of conflict is about values, like your what you want and what you believe in and how important that is to you.
And the mismatch between sometimes what you think you want, because when I'm plotting characters, I think about that. What they think they want and what they need, which can be completely different.
Sound like the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
Are you going to sing?
No, I can't sing.
I can't. Sorry, I won't even try.
I would. But I was thinking about a programme that I've read about, and then I found out it was a book. And so I'm bouncing back and forth again between internal, external. But this book has been made a television series now, so it's been very successful as a book. And it was described as young adult and dystopian. But it starts at 9 o'clock tonight on television.
What's it called?
Noughts and Crosses.
Okay, that rings some bells.
Yes. Well, I'll go on talking for a minute and it might ring bells for you and some other listeners. Because I really liked an interview with the author, so I thought I might recommend it. She's called Mallory Blackman, and I listened to a whole interview by Krishnan Gurumurthy on Channel 4 News podcast, and I thought it was so interesting, not least because she said she had 82 rejection letters before her book was published. Imagine. She said that now she wouldn't do that, she would self-publish.
Really?
Yeah, she wouldn't have waited for 82. And there was loads of other interesting things that she said. But what I thought was relevant to our discussion about conflict is that what she's done is so clever, and I have yet to watch it because it's the first one tonight. But by the time this goes out, maybe people have watched some of it.
What it does
is she's created this dystopian place where black people are the ones in power, called Crosses, and white people are the minority, called Noughts. And I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I do know that there's a sort of love story within it, which is between one of each.
Yeah, across the divide.
So it's such a brilliant, straight away, we know that's a conflict of interest, because she'll be, like in those novels you talked about in the past, there's often that thing of the privileged person falling in love with a chambermaid or similar, or the disempowered, but it's being twisted around in an interesting way.
Yeah, I think.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
I've not read it. I would know if I'd read it. I've not read it. It's but I've heard about it, and it's ages ago, so it must have been maybe when the book came out.
Yes. It came out in, I think, 2016.
Okay.
And she's written another one. The TV series is just not even doing the whole of the first book, I think. So there's room for manoeuvre.
Okay.
And it looks to be very interesting, and Stormzy, the singer, is acting in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. But so isn't that cleverly set up? I mean, all I know is this interview.
Yeah.
And straight away.
Yeah, you're drawn in.
We know about the conflict, don't we?
Yeah.
And we know that not just the one about the love interest, if you like, but you know it's going to present lots of interesting things for to think new thoughts about. Because if it was the other way around, we've got used to that sort of formula where the white man was the power.
Yeah. Well,
so
it,
to turn that round will be interesting.
It raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? And don't you wonder how people are going to take it, and how whether it'll give people empathy?
And one of the question marks will be, can anybody be turned into a bad person if they're given power?
Yeah.
I know that's going to come through. So it will be an interesting question to think about.
Yeah.
So it is, in a way, it's the conflict outside and inside, but I think from the point of view of if we're writing a story ourselves, it's about, and we've talked about this a bit before, that you need a conflict of some sort. It could be a within conflict, as in, shall I put family before work or work before family? Those kinds of things that we have all the time. Or it could be a big storyline of a conflict.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a life and death. That's the thing about conflict. It can just be someone's internal conflict, like you've just said, about what they should do, not what they should get for dinner. It's got to be something important, and you've got to believe that it's important, but that's what the scenes... But every scene should have conflict, because it's the conflict that actually reveals who your character is. Which choice do they make? Yes. That reveals who your character is.
Yes, as it does in life. But we don't always know that we're making choices in life.
No. No.
And part of the interest as an author is you can present it a bit more clearly as a choice.
And people can explore that through your character, which is the joy of writing, isn't it? And why books can change the world.
And do you remember last time I mentioned that, I can't remember who it was, another author I'd been reading about, who'd said that it's not enough to have a conflict that can be resolved between two people in one conversation. It's got to be more complex. Because if it's so easy, like we've fallen out about something, which train to get, for example, when we go to London. But if it's something that we could then sort out in a few minutes, that wouldn't be very interesting, would it?
That's
got to have a lot more subtlety than that.
I think there are times when romance writers write something like that, though, and I find that really annoying. When you're just like, oh, for goodness sake.
Just have to create something a bit more complex to bring your reader with you.
Like their values are from different places.
Yeah, or pressures from the family, or things are looking good and then something happens to just change the balance.
It's those choices as well, those choices that they have to make that aren't... So they're not obvious choices where you're like, do you choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing? It's like two wrong things, or which is the best out of the choices. Both of them are terrible. which one are you going to do? It's about that.
So in real life and right now, when this goes out, maybe people will know more, but at the moment what we know is there's this coronavirus, so it's early days, and so the kind of conflict you hear being talked about in the news, conflict of interest, is should a country's leader reassure people that it's not too bad an issue, or should they give you the facts even if they're quite scary? So straight away you've got those kinds of conflicts of interest, haven't you, between what's good for the economy, not to upset the markets.
Do you feel inspired to write about something like that?
Well, not directly, but to go back to this person I like, the Noughts and Crosses writer, very interesting person to listen to, she does say that politics, it makes her angry,
yeah.
and anger makes her fired up to write.
Yes.
And not so much this one, but another book that she'd done was a direct response to a situation like this.
All right.
Not this particular situation, but it had made her so angry that she started to write because of it.
I can get that, though, because I can yeah. feel that passionate about, and I know you can as well, yeah. about politics. Yeah, yeah.
I know you're a straightforward one, especially about animal rights.
Yes. Yes, but I've not written it yet.
No.
Well, I've written chapter one of that one.
So have you got any advice for people when they're trying to think of a chapter and it doesn't, it feels like it's going along in a sort of flat way without enough crisis, conflict or whatever you want to call it?
I think just being, number one is being aware of where the conflict is so that you can not emphasise it, but you can write mindfully about it.
Mm.
So, I mean... I'd been there, I've written a chapter and then thought, well, not much happened in that.
Mm.
And then looked back at it and thought, well, and it usually is because there's not enough conflict. And sometimes you can tweak someone's point of view or emphasis in order to just make it go somewhere. Because when you're putting your characters in those positions, it's inevitable that there's going to be a bit of excitement or that people are going to want to read to find out what happens. But I think the other thing is when you're thinking about your characters in the first place, think about those questions.
Mm.
What do they think they want and what do they think they need? Or so what don't they think they need?
It, you could write down the name of the character and then some sort of thing about pressures or pulls and pushes.
Yeah. Or what do they need to learn?
Mm.
What is the novel about? What does it teach them about themselves? Or what do they fail to learn about themselves but the reader can see?
Mm.
So even if it's, you know, a negative type ending where, which I'm not personally very keen on, but if even if it leaves the reader feeling that, well, he had a choice or she had a choice to learn from what's happened.
So somewhere there needs to be some vulnerability or, like, what your character's tripwire would be.
Yeah, yes.
What would take them off? What would derail them?
Even if you've got a superhero.
Mm.
I don't like superhero films, but but just because I find them a little bit predictable. Yeah. But even the superhero films get the hero off the track of whatever their mission is.
Yeah.
They get derailed.
Yes.
Can I get any other cliches in here?
No, I've already got one. Cliches in one spot.
Okay. So, are you sure there's only two?
Oh, no, there could be a lot more.
Mm.
So let's try and think about conflicts that we've either seen or experienced. I'm thinking now you can go back to your family roots for some ideas that people could think about, such as sibling rivalry, where you came in the family can often be a conflict area, can't it?
Are you talking about real conflicts real now?
Well, yeah, but you can use them for a story, can't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I just wasn't sure whether you were talking about, yeah, if you've murdered your brother and put him under the patio. I never had a brother, never had one.
Just as well in the circumstances. Where your imagination's going. But I don't know, I was just thinking that straight away gives some material for a bit of conflict, because no two people growing up in a home, in their own home, I mean, have the same experience.
Yeah.
This is only a few years difference.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of more internal type conflicts rather than the because I
not
think
the pillow fights.
Yeah, because I think that's quite obvious to a lot of people. The external conflicts are quite obvious to a lot of people, that, you know, if someone's kidnapped or...
Well, no, but it could be just that they think that a parent favours them.
Yes.
Or the other way around. They think a parent favours their sibling.
Perhaps that parent does favour the sibling. And then what?
Then what?
Yeah, so... Yeah.
So how would you go forward then with your internal thing? Because it could start from childhood. They usually do, don't they?
Or it could be a trauma or a blind spot.
Yeah.
So something that everyone else sees about them, but they don't. Mm. Maybe they don't trust people and they need to learn to trust some people.
Mm.
Or they think they can do everything on their own.
Yeah. Or they trust too many people.
Yeah, although just a complete isolated, yeah. It could be anything that they need to move from in order to live a more fulfilling life. Mm. I nearly couldn't say fulfilling then.
No, that's a lot of
F's in it. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're making me think, that's why.
Well, that's good.
Yes, that's always a bonus. Yeah. So, yes. So, it all starts with the character, though, doesn't it? All those things I've just said starts with the character, not with the plot.
Mm.
But I suppose some people might go plot first.
Yeah. Well, let's try and think of that then. Well, a town under siege.
Yeah.
That's got no people in it yet until we start to put them in.
Yeah. When you said that, I think of David Gemmell, who wrote quite a few Towns Under Siege.
Mm.
Yeah. And had real meaty characters as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I was thinking of the Trojan Horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you can go back to myths and legends and things for some plot lines, can't you?
Mm, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think about... I always start with character, but then the plot informs the character. Mm. So as you're going through, and regardless of whether you plan it out or whether you just write, your character develops as you're writing. Well, for me, it does.
But it could be an interesting exercise just to try and do it without character, especially if you are a more character-driven type of writer, because Shakespeare used to pick up stories and just things that he heard about and build his story on something he'd read.
And then add his characters.
Because
his characters had internal conflict.
Yeah. So, for example, he maybe read that twins got washed up on an island, but one was in a different part of the island to the other.
And they grew up differently.
Mm.
Or some of his characters had false beliefs, didn't they?
Mm.
So they would believe a certain thing, and then they would act on that belief, and that would lead into all sorts of trouble.
But to start with, even before he'd got the character, he'd got some part of the plot, like washed up on a shore idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. Or leading a rebellion.
Yeah. But then for this novella I'm writing, it was an idea, wasn't it?
The character, it was an idea.
Yeah. But then there was the idea, which is just an idea, not a plot. It's not been developed yet. But the character came first, before the plot. Idea, character, then plot. In that order.
We'll look forward to it. I don't
know if
it's got a title yet.
No, it hasn't. I'll think on one then.
Yes, keep in touch.
Okay, are we going to end there for this week?
Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter
or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.